Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I am thrilled because today we have with us Dr. Marilyn Joyce. In 1985, when Marilyn was at the peak of her career and feeling that she had achieved ultimate success, was diagnosed with melanoma. She was shocked to discover how serious the disease was. And as if that wasn't enough, a week out of the hospital, she was rushed back in again with stage 4 uterine cancer. She was only 35 years old. After she passed the initial shock of the diagnosis, she tried everything she could in search of a magic bullet. Yet 4 years later, she was in a wheelchair at 88 pounds, and according to doctors, with only a week and a half to live. Her recovery story is absolutely amazing. And since recovering from those challenging cancer years, she has poured her heart and soul into learning everything she can, creating energy and vitality in only 5-minute segments throughout the day. Often the only time a cancer patient, caregiver, or healer has available at any given moment. Now, after 27 years, Marilyn is one of the world's leading experts on instant energy, the 5 keys to unlimited energy and vitality. Marilyn, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, Vicki, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me to come on this show.
Well, I gave just a brief sketch of what your journey has been like. Tell us a little bit more about that journey and how you overcame a diagnosis of 1 week to live. And that was 27 years ago. That's incredible.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a loaded question, too, because, you know, it's interesting when we are going through our journey called life, we never know what twists and turns of fate are going to occur. And I was in the health field. I had also studied yoga in India in 1970-71. I was one of those hippies, you know. I would never have admitted it then. But, you know, that was the kind of my beginning. So I always had an interest in health, but I didn't know what cancer really was until I was diagnosed with it. And basically, it's unresolved emotional issues that manifest into tumors. I learned that much later. But what I did realize when I was going through this journey was when I was first diagnosed with cancer, first melanoma, you know, I never knew what it was. I worked with chronic cancers such as uterine cancer, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, breast cancer, those kinds of cancers that we used to equate to being older, to older human beings. But today we're seeing this in much younger people, and I was an example of that myself at 35. So anyway, I was in the health field, and I just would never have believed that I could be sick. I had more energy than most people I knew even back then, and I was wearing a lot of hats and carrying a lot of responsibility. And that, of course, was part of the problem, too. But I really didn't think in terms of how could I be ill. You know, I just knew that I had suffered with pain for years that had gone misdiagnosed as PMS. So, you know, here I am, first of all, diagnosed with melanoma, and then with uterine cancer, stage 4. And I had lost 2 great aunts to uterine cancer, stage 4. So to me, this was like a death sentence. However, after 3 rounds of chemotherapy, I knew it was going to be a death sentence if I didn't stop that. And I decided if I'm going to die, I'm going to die naturally, and I'm not going to go out the way I saw people going out and the way I was going, where I was talking to the great white telephone in the bathroom, if you get my drift, more than I was doing anything else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the experience. And that was when I literally walked away from all the things I'd learned in my university education as far as treatments and so on went, and went back to kind of my what I would call my roots, you know, with the yoga and meditation and inner work and that type of thing, and started traveling the world looking for the magic bullet or the miracle cure, and found several different things that worked, but not completely, because I went into remission and then I had a relapse, went into remission and had a relapse to the tune of 5 times. So in the 5th bout, as you mentioned, I was 88 pounds in a wheelchair, unable to eat or drink anything, and could only suck on ice chips. And that was when I had the miracle weekend occur. I guess I had given it all up. I was done. There was nothing left for me to try as far as I knew. And that's when I got dragged off to a home show and was introduced to Jim the Vitamix Man. I can't remember his last name, but he was my angel. And he introduced me to ice chips with food in it. It was just basically cantaloupe fruit and the seeds of the cantaloupe, the part that most of us throw out in our culture. But in other developing countries, they roast those seeds and eat them because they're so packed full of nutrition. So he took those and put them into this 2-horsepower lawnmower for food. That's kind of what I refer to what Vitamix does, and created this slush that I was able to keep down. And that was the first nutrition I'd had in months. And then the next day, I was dragged off to a Bernie Siegel event, Dr. Bernie Siegel, and introduced to the concept of what you focus on expands, and why not focus on gratitude. I mean, there was much more than that to that day, but that was the part that was hardest for me to digest on many levels when I used that word. Because it was all about gratitude. And I said to him, what am I going to be grateful for? I'm dying. You know, I mean, I'm out of here. And he said, well, I think you've got a lot to be grateful for. You just have to stop thinking about all the negative stuff and start thinking about what you've got to be grateful for, and start by writing 5 gratitudes a day in a journal. Now I'm like looking at this journal that my daughter got for me the next day, and I'm thinking, I do not know what to write in here. I had lots to be grateful for, Vicki, but I couldn't see it. I was so down, so stuck in the pity pot, you know. But when I wrote the 5 gratitudes the first day, it was 1 gratitude 5 times, which is what Dr. Bernie Siegel said to do. Can't think of 5, write 1 5 times. So the first one was, dear God, thank you for the sun, because it was like there was no sun. It was overcast, dismal day, middle of Toronto winter in Canada, and no sign of sun. So when I prayed and said, okay, give me a sign, there I got the sun for a few seconds that day. And at the end of the month, I actually wrote 138 gratitudes, and they were all different. And that whole concept of what you focus on expands. 27 plus years later, I'm still here, and I've had an amazing life. I mean, there's ups and downs like everybody. We all have our ups, we all have our downs, the ebb and flow of life. But amazing, amazing experiences, amazing people. I've written books, I've traveled the world as a speaker, and just had an amazing time since then. So I thank God for every day that I've had since then. And I thank Dr. Bernie Siegel for giving me the ability to begin to see that what you focus on expands. And that means focusing on health versus sickness, focusing on changing your perspective in an instant from negative to positive, you know, reframing everything as fast as you possibly can. Can I do it all the time? I'm human. I make mistakes too, but, you know, overall, it's what I teach my patients, and it keeps me on track.
That's incredible. So tell us a little bit about the work you're doing now, because you being here and being able to contribute what you've been through is like a miracle, and it's such a gift for everyone who runs into you and connects with you.
That's a great question and a great point, Vicki, because quite frankly, for the first few years, I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to admit it to anybody. I didn't want to share the journey. I just wanted to go ahead with my life and forget the whole thing. I had made a pact with myself that I would never work in a hospital again, and I would never work in a corporation again. Both of those things I figured had been the major cause for me being ill. I didn't look at the fact that I hated my job, and if I just found a different job, I would be happier, you know, something where I was working with people instead of books and manuals and staff. You know, it was like I just didn't get it. But years later, I started to put all that together. And it was through a fluke incident I came down to California. I figured if I'm going to die, I might as well die somewhere where it's going to be sunny. Well, that was 5 years later. I'm still here and I'm alive and well and not even thinking about cancer for 4 years anyway. And at that point in time, we had that 1994 earthquake in California. And that was kind of a turning point for me because the job I had, which was a fun job and it was just real easygoing, and, you know, I was doing numerology, back, in fact, for one of the psychic TV shows. And the building collapsed. And so here I am. I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? And I got a call from the Cancer Treatment Centers of America asking me to come in for an interview because I was also writing articles for magazines like Yoga Journal and Healthy and Natural and New Perspectives, lots of different magazine articles and doing stuff like that as well for fun. Everything I was doing, I made up my mind it was for fun. I wasn't doing anything that I didn't like. And so that's kind of where my life was at that point. And then I got this call after I had interviewed Dr. Carl Simonson for a magazine article. And he was so inspired by it that he figured I was the right person for this job. And I said no. Before the earthquake, I said no. And then 2 weeks after the earthquake, they called me again and said, would you reconsider? And that was the turning point. I went out to the Cancer Treatment Center here in California, was hired instantly, and immediately started traveling around the country with the five different units. I was director of nutrition for the cancer treatment centers. And during that time, I worked with thousands of patients. And one day we had that moment of reckoning when a patient who had the same cancer that I had gone through was going to give up. And she was angry and frustrated. And my superior said, you need to go in and talk to her and tell her your story. And I said, nope, not going to do it. But ironically, I went into the room and I said those words you never say to somebody, I understand. Because there's that saying that unless you've walked in somebody's shoes, you cannot understand, right? But I said it without thinking, and she started throwing everything in the room at me. You know, if she could have lifted that lamp up and thrown it at me, she would have done it. And I said, I honestly do understand. And it was through the calming of her husband that she let me sit on the side of her bed, and I then told her my story. And it was the first time I'd really, other than with a few close friends and my superior, who was also had become one of my best friends, that I had shared any of this. And when I shared it with her that day, it was a turning point for both of us. We ended up at 11 o'clock that night, we were in each other's arms crying, and she's alive and well today. And that was 1995. So that was really where I learned that by sharing your ups and downs, you can actually help other people to traverse that journey that they're going through, if you can relate to it, you know? And so, yeah, so that was it. You know, from that point forward, I was invited to be on a show called Doctor to Doctor, and I was going to be doing 6 episodes talking about what I did with cancer patients. And so I talked about my manual that I created for them, and the doctor turns out and kept saying, the book, 5 Minutes to Health. And I kept saying to her in between takes, I said, I don't have a book. She said, then write the darn book. And that was really my first book, 5 Minutes to Health, came out of that. It took 9 months. It was like birthing a baby. 9 months to write that book and get that sucker out there. And we had it pre-sold thousands of copies through the television show alone. And then from there, I started traveling. I got involved in, you know, book promoting and speaking and all of that. And before I knew it, you know, I was literally traveling the world talking about how I'd overcome cancer and what I did and what I was doing with my patients and how many of them were experiencing recovery. And at the very least, they would have had quality of life before they left. And that was the key thing. It's not so much about longevity as much as it is about quality of life. And so that was a huge epiphany for me as well, with if there were patients who would say to me, I don't want to be here because I have no quality of life. I'm only here because my family wants me here. So quite often I will ask patients, do you want to be here or would you rather not be? And they'll tell me the truth. As long as I'm alone with them, they'll tell me the truth. If a patient really wants to be here, 9 times out of 10, their why to be with family, to see their grandchildren grow up, whatever it is, may keep them here. And others, they're ready to go. And sometimes the pain is just too unbearable to even consider staying. You know, so it's not about longevity. It's really about quality of life. And that's my whole focus with everything I do with people, because with quality first, then we can go from there.
You know, it's interesting. I used to consult to doctors, and one of the doctors that I consulted with was a medical doctor, but used a lot of natural remedies with people who other doctors had given up on, particularly cancer patients. And he told me that in his intake, he would have people sit down and write all the things that they had to live for. And he would know exactly who was going to make it and who wasn't just by how long that writing period took. If they wrote like one short paragraph, chances are they didn't have a very good chance. If they wrote pages, they would have a really good chance of getting through it. And I thought, when you think about the power of that, and also when you think about the power of writing, because with you now, you have these books that are literally all, you're traveling all over the world too, but they're literally accessible to people all over the world, telling your story and being able to empower them to also look at things in a more positive fashion and possibly, you know, if not lengthen their lives, at least, as you say, improve the quality of their lives all over the world. It's really mind-blowingly powerful.
You know, it really is, Vicki, and what I love about today's world, because back in the 80s, we didn't have internet, we didn't have Google, we didn't have the cell phone. I remember when I got my first cell phone, which was a brick. You couldn't carry that thing around very large. It didn't have much power. But the point is that today, the thing I absolutely love is that we can literally be sitting here, like you and I, we're completely across the country from each other, and yet we're completely connected. I love the fact that social media, the internet, all of that has brought us together and made this world a small world. And for many reasons, that's a good thing, because we have to be transparent now. We can't hide away. We can't avoid the world. It's all about being authentic and transparent and connecting. And I think that that's what can save the planet, because we all have stories. We all have experiences that can change each other's lives. And it's regardless of race, creed, color, religion, philosophy, it doesn't matter. We're all basically, as humans, the same. We have the same needs, the same desires, the same wants, the same ability to love or not to, depending on the circumstances. But the thing is, when you know somebody and you love them, you can't kill them or drop a bomb on them.
Ah.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at, is I just want to create peace on the planet. And whichever way it takes to do it, if it's by sharing my cancer journey and sharing other people's journeys, because that's what I love to do too. It's not just about me. I mean, there are many survivors who are thrivers. And it's connecting with them, whether it's cancer or other illnesses or other things in life, depression, people overcome that, sharing these stories of going to hell, living to tell, and then asking yourself what matters now. That's so key to creating peace on earth right now, I believe. So I'm getting into a bigger part there, I guess, but
that is just amazingly beautiful. And again, so incredibly powerful. So, you know, since you were reluctant to get into telling your story, how were your challenges in writing your books? Were you through that? I mean, I think a lot of people have trouble getting to write their books because of the fact that either they don't feel they have enough of a story to tell, or the story that they have to tell may be painful or revealing in a way that they're not ready for. Tell us a little bit about how that impacted you.
You know, that's a really great question, Vicki, because I will admit it was really hard for me to write it. I could write a manual. I mean, that's what I did, wrote manuals for the Canadian government and big textbooks that were basically resources that were available in libraries of different health books and things that would be useful to look up. But anyway, that was kind of the work I was doing, and it was very technical, and you just give the facts about it and nothing more. So there was no emotion attached to it. I'm a Scots girl from a wee place called Auchtermochty in Scotland. And Scottish people are very uptight about sharing their bad stuff. You know, no, nobody wants to hear that. Don't share the bad stuff. Only share the good stuff. And so it was very challenging, even with my family, because my family was like, why are you talking about that? Why are you sharing that kind of thing? This is private stuff. And so it was very challenging for them, although both my parents, for their passing, each individually, shared with me that I had inspired them by my willingness not to fall into the trap of my heritage. You know, zip your lips and things like that, keep it to yourself. And I think that was the growth for them, was seeing that I was going to do it regardless of what my family thought. But it was hard at first. And I remember the first time I wrote my story, it was written more like a technical book than it was my story. And somebody said to me, I think it was actually Mark Victor Hansen, said, you need to tell the story from your heart. He had me kind of sit down and tell a little bit of it. It was in a workshop, and tell a little bit of it. And I started to cry. I mean, it was the first time I'd allowed myself to really feel it. And that's when he says, write the story now. And I think that was basically it. I wrote the story then, and then I expanded on it and shared more of it as I went forward. But I have never really written a whole book on it, but I've written lots of articles or inclusions for various other books. You know, I've been part of lots of anthologies, and as well as doing my own books. And in the process of doing that, different pieces of the story have come out. So I'm sure at some point I will put them all together in one book and make it the story. But basically, when I got to the place of speaking it, then I was able to write it from the heart. And I think that's the key. Whatever works for the individual, you know, come from that place. But it has to come from the heart. Sometimes that's a very painful place to go, but it's also extremely healing, right? So in the process of helping other people, I didn't realize it fully at the time, but I was actually healing myself on a very deep level. I was healing myself of the trauma of my childhood. My childhood was very traumatic, and then I was a runaway at 14 and lived on the street. So I had a lot of things like that to really work through. And over the course of the years following the telling of the story to that one patient, all the rest of it started coming out piece by piece by piece. And, you know, at 66 now, I feel like I'm more whole than I've ever been in my entire life.
Oh, my gosh. Incredible. Well, your newest book, Instant Energy, The Five Keys to Unlimited Energy and Vitality. Tell us a little bit about that book and what readers can expect.
Well, you know, that book is really the book I wanted to write when I wrote 5 Minutes to Health. But at the time, most people were only really interested in nutrition and maybe a little bit of lifestyle. So that's what 5 Minutes to Health was. It was mainly a nutrition guide. And I never really delved into all the other things that I would do with my patients. I did for myself and that I do with my patients. And then one day I was talking to my assistant about what I was going to do. I was going to revise 5 Minutes to Health. And she said, you know what, you can revise it, but what you need to do is add all the stuff that you actually do with your friends and with your patients and with your clients and make it a real book that's about the whole person health, which is what you talk about all the time in your seminars, but your book doesn't reflect that. And that was the beginning of putting Instant Energy together. And it was amazing. Once Lori and I talked about that and I sat down at the computer, it was like the chapters just started falling out of me onto the computer screen. You know, I was going to say onto the paper, but that came after the computer screen. But, you know, it was like it just started falling onto the screen, and it was like Fit In Fitness. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, all the things I taught about fitness. Water. What's the importance of water? Detoxification. And it was like, wow. And so it wasn't in any specific order that I wrote. It was just whatever flowed through me on the particular day that I sat down to the computer. And, you know, of course, in conversations with my assistant, Lori, we would talk about the various things. So I'm sure that as I slept on it and meditated on it, that that's what would happen, you know. But I felt like I was just a vessel, and the universe was just, and God were just pouring everything into me, and it was just pouring out onto the computer screen. And that was it. And so it became a whole person approach, which is what I have always used, but that wasn't reflected in what I was writing up to that point. A few years ago, it was all complete. I sent it off to the publisher, and it was done. And when I went to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, thinking about my beautiful day ahead in bed and in the bathtub and eating only healthy food and not looking at the computer the whole day and watching movies and just having a day completely doing whatever I felt like doing, I woke up 2 hours later at 6 o'clock in the morning with this thing going through my head. Energy is an acronym. I'm like, oh, no, we're done. I'm not doing any more. I'm finished. But, you know, it's like I couldn't get back to sleep. It's like that. You got to get up and do it. I sat down at the computer, and 5 minutes later, I had the word energy as an acronym for what I teach. Sent it off to my assistant and said, I'd love to hear what you think of this. And she immediately got back to me and said, oh, that is it. Sent it off to the publisher, and they weren't too happy at first, and then they said, okay, well, we're going to wait, and, you know, you can rewrite the whole front of the book. I'm like, what? Rewrite the whole front of the book? Yeah, you've got to explain what this means. I'm like, oh, no. But actually, it became a labor of love, because as I was doing it, I got excited. I saw how the word energy just completely outlined, in the order that I teach my patients, everything about whole person health. You know, right, wow, from breathing to food to exercise to rest and relaxation and right to gratitude. And then, you know, your five keys. So it was like it just all fit. It was amazing, quite frankly. And then that was it. So it actually became a guideline for all of my patients. And ironically, it was a patient of mine who actually created the pyramid of energy that followed based on what I taught her. And it's just an amazing pyramid that encompasses not just nutrition, but everything about life, all in that pyramid. So, you know, it was like it all fell into place. It's like, you know how it is, Vicki, when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, things just fall into place. And when you're not, they don't.
Yeah.
And you have to step back and take a look at it, you know, and say, okay, what's not in alignment here? Or if it is working, what is in alignment and why? Mm. And when you're living your passion, it always falls into alignment. There might be a few glitches on the way, but overall it falls into place, you know.
That is so true. So what do you hope the readers will take away from the book?
What I really want them to take away from the book is a word that I often hear people knock, but it's the word hope. Because with hope, there comes the belief that you can do it, whatever it is, whether it's overcoming an illness or just reaching maximum, optimum health in your life, creating amazing relationships, whatever it is, but it's the idea of hope. Because sometimes you're so far down that spiral, the wrong way down, and you don't see any way out. That's what I really want my book to provide and my story to provide, is that energy of hope, that no matter how bad things look, there's always hope. One woman said to me years ago, she was 98 years old, she was diagnosed with cancer at 68 and given no time. And when I met her, she had outlived her prognosis by 30 years. And her words to me were just in a simple, old statement, "It ain't over till it's over, honey." And I was like, wow, you know, I mean, I wrote that in the front of my 5 Minutes to Health book, because I know it's not proper English or anything, but it was just what came out of her mouth when I was complaining about life. It was during the latter part of my cancer journey that I met her. And I think on many levels, that statement was buried deep inside of me at that miracle weekend that, wow, you know, maybe there is hope. Maybe, just maybe. And so I had that hope from that statement from her, and that's what I would want people to have. It's just the belief, the hope, the understanding that it ain't over till it's over.
Oh, that is incredible, really incredible. I was wondering, you're doing so much in the way of amazing work and changing people's lives. If you were to look at your work almost like a legacy that would be impacting the world, which it is, how would that look for you?
Well, it's actually going to be taking the form of a new journey of 1,000 days, which was an epiphany a year ago, where I woke up to this reality. You know, it was like these words going through my brain, you can't take it with you. And I looked around at all my beautiful things, and I realized, you know, life is short. Even if I live to 100 years of age, you know, it's still only 100 years on this planet, right? So what can you do to ensure that you leave a legacy worth remembering? And I know that I've done a lot of work that, you know, has helped a lot of people, but I want to take it to the next level and interview 1,000 people in 1,000 days around the world on location, asking them, you know, if they've been to hell and lived to tell after losing someone, something, or everything they thought was important to them. It could be to an illness such as cancer or anything, a typhoon. What matters now? And then sharing those stories with the world through social media and my blog at journeyofa1000days.love. And so what we're going to do is just really go out and bring people together with the stories, because stories, you know, I remember hearing a statement years ago, facts tell, stories sell. Now, that was for business, but I think about stories really do change people's lives more than facts or figures or anything else, because it's the emotion that you feel. And so that's what the goal is to bring people together in the emotion of compassion and love for each other, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, or philosophy. And it's always been something that's been important to me, Vicki, because from the time I was a little girl, I've been what they call a connector. I connect information. I connect people. I connect facts with simplicity and create things by connecting the dots. And so that's really what I want to do, is I want to connect the entire planet. I know it sounds crazy, but that's what I want to do. And things have been falling into place in a way that I never would have dreamed, just like they did when I first started talking about my journey out of cancer, you know, through the journey and out of it. Things just kind of fell into place for me to get that story out there. Well, that's what's happening with this journey. It's just really opening up avenues I never anticipated. People coming out of the woodwork and saying, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll spread the word here, I'll do this. You know, it's just amazing. So that's the vision, is to travel the world for as long as I've got left, starting with the first 1,000 days and a pre-journey throughout the United States first, where we do maybe 500 interviews if possible before I cross the border to go to the rest of the world.
I think you have a whole series of books here, my dear. A series.
Yeah, that's part of what we want to do as well, is to start putting the stories, first of all, will be videos, and then they'll be transcribed and they'll become stories, you know, books of different stories. So, yeah. Thank you.
So fantastic. Thank you so much, Marilyn, for being with us. I can't tell you how much I've appreciated our time together.
Oh, me too, Vicki. Thank you so much. This has just been such fun. You are so easy to talk to.
Well, you know, I know that they can find your Instant Energy book on Amazon. If they wanted to connect with you, do you have a website where people could reach out to you?
I do, actually. And if they can also get my top 10 energy tips as well at 5minuteenergytips.com. So it's the number 5minuteenergytips with an S.com. And so they can reach me through that. The phone number's there, email, everything is there, as well as getting those tips that they can get started with right away.
Fabulous. And thank you so much for your generosity of time and generosity of sharing your story, which is an amazing one, and also this wonderful gift for all of our listeners. So I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Vicki. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at GetEI.com. That's GetEI.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.